from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Monday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. D.A. Damon Amendolara in for Jim today. You could usually catch me on many of these same CBS Sports Radio stations preceding Jim. Of course, today, live and sparkling Technicolor on TV. The good people over at CBS Sports Network has decided, you know what, let's put this on the old television. As they do every day. They do a wonderful job doing it, so thanks as well to that crew putting on the simulcast today. Got a good show coming up for you. Let's talk college football. In the ACC, one of the best offensive minds of the game, one of the most explosive attacks in the conference, is in Syracuse. Unfortunately, they have not been able to turn that into a bowl appearance, a postseason appearance under Dino Babers. But Dino's quarterbacks and his wide receivers and his aerial exploits have put up some crazy numbers that rank with anybody nationally. Can this be the year three, that they break through? We'll talk to Dino Babers coming up about that in about 35 minutes from now. Also, always a great conversation about all things college football when it comes to chatting with Dino. Later on in the show, Yahoo Sports NFL insider Eric Adelson is going to join us as well. We'll go around the NFL as now every team prepares for their first preseason game outside of the Ravens and Bears after they just finished up on Thursday, the Hall of Fame game. But plenty to talk about concerning T.O. and the Hall of Fame induction ceremony over the weekend. Ray Lewis, who would have known, enjoys public speaking, likes the stage. I had no idea he was so comfortable in front of a crowd. Ray, it's been 36 minutes. Did anybody give him the Oscars wrap-up light? Play the music to get Ray off the stage. Look, it's almost Sunday here, people. Can anybody stop the Red Sox after they just put a hammer down on the Yankees over the weekend? Mike Socia and poppycock, the most amazing Brown stat ever. And more on T.O. and his decision to be at his alma mater, Tennessee Chattanooga, instead of Canton. But we begin with Urban Meyer, because Ohio State says that the investigation into what happened with Urban Meyer and Zach Smith should be completed within 14 days, which means that will take us before the beginning of the season, which means that if you were in Columbus or you were an Ohio State fan, it sounds like this decision will be made before we get to week one. And that's probably the way the Buckeyes athletic department wants this thing to happen, not to allow it to hang over the university's head. Urban Meyer issued a statement on Friday. Zach Smith did interviews. And while I understand what the tact was by Urban Meyer and Zach Smith, essentially to push responsibility away from Urban, frankly, I don't think this made him look any better. Let's start with Zach Smith, who sat down with ESPN.
He asked me what the hell is going on. I told him, I said, Courtney's accusing me that I committed domestic violence. I didn't. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go down and meet with the investigator and find out what the deal is. And after that, I told him, I said, they have some pictures of her. Anything that happened to her body was all just defensive movements to remove myself from the situation. And I said, and that's it. And I'm not going to get charged because I didn't do anything wrong. Found out the facts he needed to find out as the head coach of Ohio State and as my direct boss. And he needed to make decisions based on those facts. I don't think it was his job to investigate, to ask questions, to talk to her. He only had to talk to me to make sure, because he already got the other side of the story from the incident report. And so he wanted to know what really happened for me, and then he let the police do their job. You can't have a head coach, a football coach, doing investigating when there's investigators that do investigating.
Zach Smith to ESPN Sports Center. Couple of things here. Number one, I tend to agree with Zach Smith. It is not up to Urban Meyer to launch an investigation. He is a football coach. I tend to agree with that. I also found Zach Smith incredibly not credible, incredibly unbelievable. I thought that every time he was posed with a question about how did Courtney Smith somehow get bruises and scrapes and scratches across her arms, he said, it was just my defensive posturing. He was pressed. Well, how does that happen? He goes, well, you wouldn't know if you weren't there. I couldn't explain it to you. That doesn't help, my friend. Also, what doesn't help is how the 0-9 situation began. As just some background on Zach Smith, who at least admitted that he pressed her buttons and that it was a volatile relationship. Just as some background of this really great guy, Zach Smith. In 2009, Urban Meyer had a celebration, a party, after winning a national championship for his staff. After the party, where I'm guessing there's a few cocktails or adult beverages, Zach Smith decides to go out to a downtown bar for more. He comes back to his house with the secretary of Urban Meyer, who apparently had broken up with her boyfriend that day. They had both been drinking. He is calling her baby. He tells his wife, who is pregnant, she's going to stay on the couch tonight. This happens to be his one-year anniversary. So Zach Smith is the type of guy that brings home Urban Meyer's secretary, who had been drinking and just broken up with her boyfriend, and tells his pregnant wife on their anniversary, she's going to stay with us. Shockingly, Courtney Smith says, that's not really going to fly. Let me bring her home. And does. And when she comes back is when the first incident happened. At this point in time, Urban Meyer knows the incident happens. Decides he will not only retain him on staff, but when he leaves, he will rehire Zach Smith on the Ohio State staff. Then knows what happened in 2015 and lies about it on media days. So this brings us back to Urban Meyer, saying that he didn't handle the question of media days well, but he did everything he was supposed to do in terms of reporting it for protocol, which is Urban Meyer saying, can't fire me without cause. I reported it. Now, I got two questions about Urban Meyer's explanation here. Number one, okay, so you're admitting that you knew it. Why did you keep him on staff? Isn't this interesting that Urban Meyer's excuse is, I did what I was supposed to do. I reported it to superiors. I followed protocol. You can't nab me on this Title IX clause in my contract that says I'm supposed to address or report any domestic violence on my staff or within my program. You can't get me on that. So Urban Meyer is now admitting he knows. Well, why was it okay then to keep Zach Smith on the payroll? I don't think this made Urban Meyer look good at all on Friday admitting this. But what he is doing is trying to push the blame. Going, yeah, I'll take the blame for lying, but I can't take the blame for not firing him or covering it up because I reported it. How does that make Urban Meyer look better? He still decided I will keep a serial abuser that has this pattern of domestic violence on my staff. What he is going to say, well, he was never charged or he was never found guilty in a court of law. Well, he is now admitting that he knew Zach Smith had a problematic relationship at very best and his wife knew and was scared of Zach Smith. But apparently that's okay to keep him on staff. Number two, Urban Meyer is one of the great coaches of his generation, arguably one of the greats of all time. Urban Meyer goes into every Saturday with a pretty damn good game plan. He spends hours upon hours upon hours prepping for every single situation possible. Correct? Every single situation possible. And that is what has made Urban Meyer so great. And yet Urban Meyer fires one of his staffers because of a report of domestic violence, is asked the question at media days, and his excuse for lying is, I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know how to handle that. Wow. So you were able to win at Bowling Green and then win at Utah almost instantly and then win two championships at Florida, again in the SEC, and then win a championship at Ohio State. But you were not ready for the question, hey, why'd you fire your wide receivers coach yesterday? I wasn't ready. I needed more time. I was under pressure. Like, this is his first press conference that he's ever done. Oh, yeah, he's just a goober from the sticks that's never seen a microphone. What am I supposed to do here, boss? I'm supposed to talk in this here microphone? What do I say? Come on. Urban Meyer looked worse on Friday after him and Zach Smith tried to explain away what happened. Worse. This is a man whose entire career is built on preparation. You think he wins Big Tens and national championships, the SEC? You think he just kind of goes in flying by the seat of his pants without anything in preparation of what might happen, especially what problems might arise? No. Here's the problem. And here's Urban Meyer's biggest problem. Is that when he was asked, why did you fire Zach Smith, he lied. Who's making that up? I don't know where you got that. That's a shame. And if Brett McMurphy didn't report it, we would have all once again gone down the road of, well, I guess the media made it up. How dare they do that? This Zach Smith guy is fine. I mean, he was fired, but Urban Meyer didn't know anything. And only because McMurphy did his job did we end up realizing, oh, wait, Urban Meyer lied. Which, Urban Meyer has bullied his way through life with the media and critics his entire career. So, you either take him for his word and, oh, he's a liar, which he just admitted, or you realize he only will cop to being a liar when he's caught in it, like most people. That didn't make him look better on Friday. All it did was push the blame. Urban knows, if I'm going to keep my job, I need a Hail Mary here. And that is, I reported it. I might have lied to the media, but I reported it. That's his only Hail Mary here, trying to push the buck to the administration and Gene Smith, his AD. If he can do that, he might keep his job. Or, I suppose, win over some court of public opinion amongst probably Buckeyes fans that want him to keep the job anyway because he's a winner. But A, he's a liar, and B, he kept a domestic abuser on his staff after he knew of the incidents. What a good guy. Here's your phone number, New York City Studios, 855-212-4CBS. The phone number is 855-212-4227. You can always hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. You could usually catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS sports radio stations. We'll get to your phone calls and your takes on Urban Meyer throughout the day, including coming up next. Also, the Red Sox just bludgeoned the Yankees in four games, taking all four at Fenway Park. It's the end of the Yankees in the division as we know it. They've just got to set their sights in a one-game wild card. But bigger picture, can anybody stop the Red Sox from winning the World Series? We'll discuss coming up next. Damon Amendola in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio, simulcast on the CBS Sports Network.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. Damon Amendola, DA in for Jim today. CBS Sports Network, simulcasting, of course, the show, and will bring you full pre- and post-round coverage of the 100th PGA Championship, where they tee things off Thursday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, with On the Range, and wrap up each day's Play with the Clubhouse Report, all presented by Citi. Began the show with Urban Meyer. I just don't see how anybody could think he looked better on Friday. He admits to knowing of the past of Zach Smith and retaining him on staff and admits that he openly lied and bullied the media and that questioning about why he fired Zach Smith. The only way that it makes him look better is it keeps his job a possibility if he pushes the buck to the administration. But boy, where the admittance of, you know what, I overlooked domestic violence, or I should have taken this more seriously, or I failed at upholding the quota that I expect from my players. No. And oh, by the way, it's really great when we interview all of the people except for the victim when you're in administration or coaches. Urban Meyer's like, I spoke to Zach Smith. Anybody want to talk to Courtney? Is that a big deal at all? No. Don't need her side. Okay, got it. I want to get to your takes on this and your calls on this, but just a moment on the Yankees being bludgeoned to death over the weekend. This was a series going to Fenway Park where the Yankees had to minimum split to keep the division as a possibility. A minimum. They get pounded Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They get to last night, actually get a strong pitching performance, actually finally get to David Price. They have a three-run lead of the ninth inning with Aroldis Chapman on the mound. A three-run lead, 4-1. Still blow it. As Chapman, one of the best closers in the game, and the bullpen supposed to be the Yankees' strength or one of them, ends up coughing it up, spitting the bit, walking the bases loaded, allowing the game tying runs to come across, and then in the 10th,
swung on and a bouncer toward the right center field area. That's throw. Here comes Renda. He scores. And Andrew Benintendi sends us home. A walk-off winner tonight at Fenway. And the Red Sox are 9.5 up on the Yankees. They come all the way back with 3 in the ninth and the game winner in the 10th. And the Red Sox win it 5-4.
Red Sox radio on the call. And so break out the brooms. Wally over at Fenway, loving life. And that is it. Over. Dunzo for the Yankees of the division. That's more than a 9-game lead. And the Red Sox, I mean, you're going to tell me that this team's going to slow down and allow the Yankees to come catch them? I mean, New York hasn't even played decent baseball in a month. This Red Sox team is on a historic pace. This is a team that's on pace to win in the 110s in terms of wins. And so they're going to win this division going away. That is now set. The Yankees have to avoid being on the road in the 1-game playoff now. The question is for the Red Sox, whose lineup is amazing, who just have played with this chemistry and looseness and joy and love of the game and themselves and each other. They are right now a total machine. And I don't know who's going to stop them. It's pretty cool that in the American League, the Astros look like a dominant foe. The Yankees did look like a dominant foe. But right now, New York needs to go back, figure out what happened, try to start playing decent baseball, because I can't take them seriously right now in the American League race. I cannot. Because all of that team feels like it's underperforming. All of them. For the Red Sox, this could end up being historic. And let me tell you this. Yankees fans should be so thankful they got 2009. Brian Cashman should be so thankful he got 2009. Because if the Red Sox rip off 112 wins or 114 wins, buzz through the playoffs and win a World Series, had the Yankees not won in 2009, that would be now 18 years without a championship. In the same time, the Red Sox would have won 4. Let that sink in. If the Red Sox continue down this path and buzzsaw their way through a World Series championship, that's 4 titles for them since 2004. The Yankees, without that 09, would be going back to 2000 for their last. They're lucky they got that 09. That covered up a lot of the wounds and failures of Cashman and the administration, the players, the manager, etc., over the last nearly 2 decades. That was a humiliation over the weekend at Fenway. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Hit me on Twitter, DA on CBS. Gary begins us on the phone. He's in Florida listening on 1560 to CBS Sports Radio and the Jim Rome Show. What's up, Gary?
Hey, how you doing, DA?
I'm good. What's up?
Good. I got a couple of things to say about Meyer and also then about T.O. everything that you said about Meyer is correct, but here's two additional things. He admits that he knew in 2015, and he didn't fire him. Now he fires him in 2018. So what kept him from firing him in 2015?
Exactly.
He obviously had the ability. And the second thing is, Meyer now says that he did what he should have by reporting it to the administration. So he's throwing his athletic director under the bus and everybody on the athletic director's staff. They can't possibly keep this guy. Can't possibly do it. As far as T.O. goes, I don't know what the Hall of Fame plaques look like or what they say, but if they have a thing on there that says inducted on whatever date it is, they should leave it off his plaque because he didn't come to the induction ceremony. And as far as T.O., you know, as far as his reasons, you know, about, oh, I wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, Kramer waited 46 years to get into the Hall of Fame. And I don't know what T.O.'s stats are. I don't know where he stands, you know, with all the great receivers, but I do know this. Jerry Kramer was a greater player in his time than T.O. ever could dream of being.
Appreciate the phone call, Gary. That's your huge call of the day. America's number one fuel stabilizer is Stable, and ethanol treatment has been trusted and recommended to keep your engines running when you need them most. Their products may live in your garage, but they help you experience so much more. Ready, willing, Stable. Here's one thing about T.O. Look, I think that T.O. is so full of himself and narcissistic and wrapped up in his own self-indulgence that he cannot see the forest through the trees and realize that great players have had to wait. There's a number of great players, top 10, top 15 players of all time at any position that have had to wait that didn't get into the first ballot. So T.O. wrapping himself in some type of victim or martyrhood is ridiculous. But that is who T.O. is, and it's a vicious cycle because he can't stop it, because he cannot be the mature one that steps aside. He needs to find an eye for an eye, and that keeps this whole thing going. It's why he has broken relationships with quarterbacks and coaches, administrators, etc. And we'll get into more on that coming up next hour. As for Urban Meyer, he pushed the buck to the administration in hopes that it makes them look bad. Now, I don't know if this is A, to keep his job, because one would assume that once you do that, you have made an enemy out of your bosses. Maybe number two, just to get the entirety of his contract. Maybe he pushes this to flip the buck on responsibility and who had it most. But again, him admitting that he knew and keeping them on staff, let's say he reported it, why would he be forced to keep Zach Smith on staff? Unless Zach Smith's connections as grandson of Earl Bruce, former head coach, and certainly a power broker in the Ohio State community, unless they were so loyal to Earl Bruce, unless the administration was so in bed with Earl Bruce's family that they all felt like, you know what, just overlook it because he's Earl's grandson. But other than that, how could, unless they overrode Urban Meyer saying, I want to fire the guy, and Gene Smith or whoever saying you can't, Urban has now admitted, I knew that this guy was bad news and I kept him on. I can't see how that's a reasonable alibi to remain head coach of a massive major program like this. Hit us up on the New York City studio line at 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll continue taking your phone calls and tweets on the Urban situation and his explanation on Friday and Zach Smith's interview on Friday as well. Also coming up here next, Syracuse football head coach Dino Babers runs one of the most exciting offenses in football. Now they've got to try to break through that glass ceiling and make a postseason bid with it. Dino's one of the best conversations in college football. We'll talk to him coming up here next. D.A. Damon Amendolara in for Jim Rome today here on The Jungle. Check us out not only on the radio, but also on TV, simulcast of the CBS Sports Network. When we return, as I mentioned, Dino Babers and more.
Live from New York, this is The Jim Rome Show with guest host Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
And a good Monday to you, everybody. Appreciate you carving out some time for us. It's always a total thrill to be inside The Jungle, a show that I grew up listening to. And Jim is a Hall of Famer. no matter what that damn vote said earlier in the summer. So it's always totally cool to be inside this seat. You can usually catch me preceding Jim on many of these same CBS Sports radio stations. Of course, we're simulcast on the CBS Sports Network on TV. You can catch the Jim Rome Show every single day, Monday through Friday, here on CBS Sports Network on the TV side of things. And, of course, you can stream us as well by downloading the CBS Sports app. Also, radio.com, a great way to listen to Jim and the rest of CBS Sports Radio, including my show, and on Apple Music. It's also time for our Ask the Pros question of the day. As Jim would say, an ATP day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/AskThePros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros or tweet it at me. DA on CBS is the handle. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Two topics we began this show with, the Urban Meyer situation at Ohio State and the Red Sox stomping all over the Yankees. So your thoughts on those. I'll jump right back into your phone calls coming up here. The New York City studio line is 855-212-4CBS. Or like I said on Twitter, DA on CBS. College football is here. It's crazy to think about, but now that we're into August, we're just a couple of weeks away from games being played. Now our next guest is in his third year, entering his third year as head coach at Syracuse. It's one of the most exciting offenses in football, but they're still looking for that elusive bowl bid under head coach Dino Babers, who joins us here on the Jim Rome Show today. Coach, always great to catch up with you. How are you?
Good, Damon. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing tremendous. I love when college football is right around the corner. I love this time of year, and I love the anticipation going into the season. You finally have multiple recruiting classes. You finally have your scheme in place. How much better do you feel going into this year than last year or year one at SU?
You know, obviously a lot better. The young men really know what we're looking for. They're giving us fantastic effort out there. We're 1 week down with two or three more weeks to go before our first game, but I thought they've been doing a great job out there.
Your offense has multiple formations and lots to read and lots to digest. Do you feel going into year number three, finally, that the guys that you have truly get it instead of just kind of getting it on the surface level? Now you're able to drill a little bit deeper perhaps in year three?
You know, I really do. We're very, very mature at certain positions. There's a position on offense and position on defense that we're young at. But outside of those two positions on offense and defense, I really do think they get it, and they're ready to rock and roll. This should be a good year.
You know, you have, I think, pumped a lot of optimism into the program over the last couple of years. Do you feel like that's being reflected by the guys on the field? It's hard not to play in bowl games, but do you feel like the guys going into the season reflect your type of optimism and energy that you always bring?
You know, I do. I really do. I think we've had some, we've really had some decent starts of September and October. You know, we haven't finished exactly the way we want to finish, but I really think that they're putting their right foot forward. They're going in with the right attitude. And outside of certain injuries in our first 2 years, I thought that we were on track to do the things that we wanted to get done.
Syracuse football head coach Dino Babers joining us here on the Jim Rome Show. DA in for Jim today here on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports Network on TV. Last year, you guys had that nationally televised big upset win over Clemson. And that was kind of a watershed moment for the program, even though you guys were not able to capitalize on that after the win. It really felt like, wow, the program got national attention. What did that moment do for you in terms of maybe some type of validation for taking over the program and where you were?
You know, I think it just kind of lets everyone know that we're not that far off. You know, we're a couple of athletes from where we want to be. And once we get the young men that we need, we're constantly recruiting that this thing is going to work. It's just a matter of time. It's not that it's, is it or is it not going to work? It's just a matter of time. It's definitely going to work.
Where is your influence coming from offensively? Because you're known as a really forward thinker and progressive mind when it comes to your offensive schemes. What's the roots of that? Who's the coach? What's the design that you take your stuff from and implement today?
Well, I mean, obviously the up-tempo stuff came from, Baylor. But I've had a lot of people influence me. You know, the Baylor influence with the type of speed, the speed at which we run the offense was a major factor. But I worked a lot with Homer Smith, which was a Hall of Fame offensive coordinator. Spent a lot of time between UCLA and Alabama. I've spent time with Walt Harris, June Jones, Jim Coletto, just numerous fantastic offensive minds. And really one of the guys I learned a lot from was Dick Tomey, who's traditionally known as a defensive coach. But you can't do offensive football if you don't understand defense. So he had a lot to do with it as well.
Kids want to catch passes. Kids want to play an up-tempo style of football. And they play Madden, they watch highlights, and they want to be part of that. And one thing that I've always thought was very savvy of you was to use an indoor facility, the Carrier Dome, as a recruiting tool, saying, hey, we play in conditions that are good for passing, good for catching passes, good for putting up numbers. Are you starting to see that work on the recruiting trail that kids are going, yeah, no, that's the place that I want to go to put up some numbers?
Yeah, we really are. We've got a fantastic group of young men in this year. We have a fantastic group of young men that's already committed that we're not allowed to talk about because of NC2A rules. And I think they really are understanding the advantage of the Loud House. I mean, the thing that I can promise them, if they come here, we're going to have 6 to 7 home games, which basically turns into 24 to 28 games out of their career where there's no wind, no rain, no snow. And to play in perfect conditions and to be able to show the next level exactly what you can or can't do, I think is very important to the young men nowadays.
Dino Babers, head coach at Syracuse. Eric Dungy has been your starting quarterback the last couple of years, but Syracuse fans really looking at Tommy DeVito, a 4-star recruit that everybody has very high aspirations for. Do you think DeVito can be one of those program changers eventually when he gets in?
You know, I don't like to talk about individuals like that. I think our quarterback position is really, really good. I think it's been a major upgrade from when I first got here, and that's not a knock on what was here before I got here. Now, the thing is, Eric Dungy was here before I got here, and Eric Dungy is really, really good. So outside of that, I thought that he was a fantastic player. And one of the reasons why I thought Syracuse would be a program that you could go and turn the tables on people and right the ship, so to speak, because they already had a fantastic quarterback already here. But I do think that that position is majorly, majorly upgraded.
Hiring of people of color in college football is still not where so many people want it to be or need it to be. Do you feel pressure to represent a hiring of somebody of color in your position, or are you just kind of hoping everybody is colorblind and all merits are just risen to the top?
You know, I don't really look at it like that. I mean, I shave in the morning. I get it. I know what I look like. But the main thing is I'm a football coach to 107 sons, somebody else's sons, that I get an opportunity to spend time with on a daily basis. And my main thing is making sure that these young men can be better fathers, better sons, better husbands. And while they're getting a fantastic degree here at Syracuse University, play some outstanding football where maybe they can get an opportunity to experience the bowl experiences and everything else that goes along with winning football.
You know, obviously the Urban Meyer situation has just kind of enveloped all of college football. When you are a head coach of a program, do you have to keep tabs on the background of your assistant coaches, hoping to make sure you're in control of things like that's happened at Ohio State?
You know, I don't know a lot of what's going on there. You know, my head comes out of a hole for a second. I'm really locked in what's going on here at Syracuse University. So I don't want to touch that topic at all because I really don't know the ins and outs of what really is going on over there.
Dino Babers joins us, head coach at Syracuse. Going into the season, do you feel like year three for your program, bowl or bust? Is it healthy to say we need to make a bowl game?
Well, I'll tell you what, I would be disappointed if we didn't. I don't think it's a bust, but I think we're at the stage of our development where that should be something that we should be seriously considering.
Dino Babers, head coach, Syracuse, joining us today here on the Jim Rome Show. Coach, I always love our conversations, man. Thanks for making time during a busy schedule for you, bud, and best of luck this season. I'm sure we'll catch up again.
Dame, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You got
Jim
it.
Rome, I said hello.
All right, man, I will. Dino Babers joining us today here on the show. I will tell Jim, Dino said hello. Always enjoy my conversations, and their offense is phenomenal. Now it's time for the defense to try to catch up and try to win those 6 games. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, when it comes to Urban Meyer, I just think when he says Friday that he was aware of what had happened, but he wasn't prepared for the line of questioning, and that's why he lied, it is the worst explanation or rationale ever. Because you don't rise to that success unless you are uber prepared all the time. Unless you have all of the I's dotted, all of the T's crossed. Does Bill Belichick strike you as a guy that doesn't know what's going to happen? Whoa, I never saw that. No. Bill Belichick has built his entire career around predicting the hairpin turns, predicting the potential pitfalls, predicting where the potholes are. Well, guess what? Belichick and Urban Meyer are close like this. It's why Aaron Hernandez ended up in New England. It's why he has drafted so many Urban Meyer guys. Urban Meyer's just, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. You just fired your assistant coach. You don't think you're going to get a question about why? That was the biggest lark going. Will is next up. He's in Illinois listening online. He's on the Jim Rome Show today. What's going on, Will?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
You know, as a private investor, I've been a private investigator for about 20 years. And I've worked with the police. I've worked with clients going through divorce. I've been in all types of situations. I hear a lot of people calling. To me, it sounds like a lot of people just don't like Urban Meyer. And it's kind of the atmosphere we live in today with the lynch mob mentality of fire this guy. You know, we still live in a country with something called due process. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I'm not familiar.
I can accuse you right now of doing something. It doesn't make it true. You can't go off half like, you know, if somebody accuses somebody of doing something. People do lie. That's why we have a court system. That's why we have police to investigate. You know, you can, in some states, do you know, if I fire you because you were accused of doing something and it later comes out that you found not guilty, you can sue.
Well, I think we all know people's rights these days. I think the key here is that do people dislike Urban Meyer? Sure, there are people that dislike Urban Meyer across the Big Ten, across the SEC. There's no doubt about it. But when you run a program that high profile, you're that successful, and you openly lie to the media about something as serious as domestic violence, obviously there's going to be pitchforks out. Does that seem like it's a surprise?
I don't find that he lied about domestic violence. I find what he said credible. Maybe he was in a situation. This is something
simple. He said, I don't know who made that up. A report about the arrest. You don't think that's lying about domestic violence?
So now you're equating him with a domestic abuser. We got to be careful, man, in this country now. Well, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, well, let me ask you. Why do you think that eventually he fired Zach?
I don't know the ins and outs, but to say he fired...
Well, look, he fired his assistant coach, so why do you think he eventually did?
This is what I'm saying. If he said that in the media day, to me, that's no grounds. And by the way, when he reported it to his superior... To me, it's over with. The police, if the police did not arrest and convict Zach Smith.
Okay, so then why? So then why did he fire him on the eve before the Big Ten Media Day?
He fired him. Hey, I don't know.
Come on. I mean, look, Urban Meyer ended up firing him. Why do you think he did that? Will he got fired? I mean, you know, you want to defend Urban Meyer against the mob mentality. Look, I get that. I'm certainly understanding of the idea that in social media day and age and in 2018 and with cable news and things like this that leak into sports, yeah, there is a group of people that want to see people go down. But why do you think Urban Meyer ended up firing Zach Smith on the eve of Big Ten Media Days? Because he knew... He was guilty or there was bad stuff following him. So now suddenly he shouldn't be responsible for having that guy on staff, even though he was fired and then lying about why he fired him?